Okay, so the talk I'm going to give is what I think of as a reality check. I'm also very excited about all the opportunities that digital media offer us, but I'm also very empirical and critical as to what we're actually dealing with on the ground and who are the people who are actually using all these services and sites that we are talking about. So I'm going to share some data with you. First, I'll start by telling you a little bit of background on what I work on. So in general, my interest is in information technology and social inequality. So general question of how is the increase of IT contributing potentially to social inequality, or how might it alleviate it? So I'm sure you've all heard of the term the digital divide. It's already come up here today. What I argue is that we need to move, while that remains a very important issue, and there's certainly large populations that are still not online, we need to move past this binary thinking and realize that there is actually what we can call, what I've called for the past several years, a second level digital divide. And what this refers to is differences among the connected. So it's not just that there are differences between those who do and do not use IT and digital media, but even once people gain access, there are going to be lots of differences that remain among them. And those are the differences that I'm interested in my work. So I just thought I'd tell you a little bit about the overall framework for my work. I'm a sociologist by training, so I'm really interested in social factors that influence what people do in their lives, how they use IT in their lives. And so these are various factors that I think influence how people might use IT. And I'm not going to get into the details, but pretty much every slide that I have I could talk about for an hour, obviously. I do have papers on my website, so you can follow up there. But so what I've argued and looked at for years now is differences in people's skills, so people's ability to make use of the medium. And then what I also look at and I'm interested in is how might skill influence what people are able to do with digital media. And then finally, the million-dollar question, the really big question that we don't really have an answer to yet today, and it takes years of work and longitudinal studies to answer, is ultimately whether there's a feedback mechanism on this graph back to people's socioeconomic status. And ultimately, I think all the opportunities that we talk about today and all these services and sites and how people use them, they make a difference if they make a difference in people's lives, right? I mean, that's really the way to approach it. That's when it really matters. And so we need to think about how all this works. It's a very hard question, so it really does take years of work. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about what I do and where I'm coming from, just so you know that I didn't just sit down one day to write some surveys and then report to you about some results. So for years, I've been studying people's skills, and what I've done and continue to do is actually meet with people in person, look at how they find information online. And I do this with a random sample of users, and I'm really focused on average users. So I don't just go to my really savvy friends and say, oh, let me look at what you do. No, I do random sampling. I consider it really, really important to go and see what the average user does. And one of the reasons it's really important to go and see what the average user does is because the average user does things that people in this room could never even imagine. It's really amazing to sit with these people and see what they come up with. So some of these screenshots are actually examples from my studies, and while some of them are several years old, some of them are just from last week. So it's really amazing what people will do, and we couldn't just make this stuff up. You have to watch what people do and study it carefully. Okay, so from observational studies, I have moved on to then try to generalize. The problem with observational studies is that you can only do so many. So surveys are really helpful to get more generalizable results. So what I did a couple years ago, was I administered a survey on young adults across the nation, and I was interested in what predicts differences in skill. And again, individual, I'm happy to talk to anyone about my measures of skill and how I go about this methodologically speaking. So what I found was that people with higher education had better skills when it came to online uses. However, actually, if you controlled for some other factors, it turned out what really mattered was whether people had autonomy in using the medium, so whether they had access at home, and not surprisingly, how frequently they used the medium. What I also found was that both level of education and level of know-how about the internet related positively to the diverse types of uses to which people put the medium. And so what does this all mean? So basically, people who are already in more privileged positions tend to use the medium for more ways from which they might benefit. So this suggests that we might be recreating inequality, right? So people who are already advantaged are getting more out of the medium. Okay, so finally what I want to talk to you about is a unique data set that is very recent, as you can see. And so the findings are actually very preliminary. And in fact, it's thanks to my great research assistant that I can even report on this at all, because it was administered on paper and pencil and so had to be entered in the last couple months. So it's over 1,300 college students at the University of Illinois Chicago, which is a great place to do a study because it's a public urban university with an extremely diverse set of students. And so again, this interest of mine of looking at the average user, not the really privileged people, and that's, for example, why I'm not doing this study at Northwestern, which is my home institution. So just a little bit of background on these people, on these students. So again, you can see that this is quite a diverse group of students, just so you know who I'm commenting on here. Mostly first years. And so part of the reason that I was interested in this population in particular is because this is the wired generation. And if I show you the next figures, these are figures about just basic use figures. And yes, they've been users for several years. They use the medium quite a bit. You know, they log on several times a day. This really is the wired generation. A lot of them have access at home, although it's important to know that not all of them do, right? So for example, for university, it's important to know that 8% of the students still rely on the computer lab or the library. But anyway, so this is the wired generation. So if all those things, those services, all those opportunities that we talk about today at this conference, these are the most likely users, right? I mean, they have 24-hour access. They are online a lot. If you're going to go look at other populations, you're probably going to find even lower use figures, right? Because this is the group that really is online a lot. So I was interested in what these people actually do and how do they take advantage of various digital media opportunities. So here are some figures. And you can certainly take issue with how I ask certain questions. I put it up there just so you know. One of the problems with just asking about whether someone reads a blog is that, you know, sometimes people might be reading a blog, they don't know it's a blog. So I was interested in whether people visit sites that are interactive in some way, so that's why I asked the question this way. So here it's interesting to note that politics, which, I mean, a lot of the commentary about blogs and the opportunity of blogs revolves around political blogs, actually, right? I mean, a lot of rhetoric and what got covered in news media about blogs had to do with political blogs. But for this generation, that's the least likely type of content that they will view. I also had a question about just what types of content people create, regardless of whether it's online or not, just to see how much creation is going on in this generation. And so, again, just sharing these figures. Okay, so here are some services that we talk about. These have come up today for sure, and I mean, we think about them all the time. And so I wanted to see, well, how much do they actually use them? Because we don't really have statistics on this. I mean, we have statistics from the sites, perhaps, or we have stats from maybe Nielsen Net Ratings about visits to sites, but that, you know, that could be the same X number of people going a lot to the same site. So we don't really know how diffused they are. So I didn't put the figures up yet because I just want you to mentally try to, it's too big a group for me to start asking you for suggestions, but try to put percentages, and I'm going to have the numbers come up. So again, this is a group of 1,300 college students who are wired and online quite a bit, and I think it's interesting to see the figures as to how widespread or not some of these services are in this group. And so the percentages are in decreasing order. And so the question was, how much do you use these services? And the percentages here refer to people who either sometimes or often use this service. I have a whole separate question that asked whether they had ever heard of it. So these are people who actually use it. And then next, I actually asked about other very specific websites. But here, I just asked whether they have ever visited these websites, right? This is the most conservative possible measure, right? It doesn't ask how many, it's just if they've been once. So again, it's a study in Chicago with us, the Chicago newspapers. But, just pause for the blogs and where people are getting their information. So again, some of these services to us, we think about them all the time, we might visit them all the time, But this is, again, the most conservative measure ever for these college students. Okay, I also have some measures of what types of activities people do online. And so here are some of the more popular ones. There was a list of about 30 things, and these don't include communication, so person-to-person communication. This is types of information you might seek online. And so these are some of the most popular. Then I also have some measures about knowledge about internet services things like, do you know what an aggregator is? That's not how the question was posed. So the question in that case was do you use an aggregator or feed reader? And then the answer options were yes, no, I don't know what an aggregator or feed reader is. And so these are the figures we're getting. About one-fifth know all of these things. So 80%, almost 80%, don't know at least some of these things. Again, it's just so we don't assume too much about what even the most wired generation knows about digital media. And so finally, as I said, what I'm interested in is seeing how the diffusion and use of IT and different opportunities might differ among different parts of the population, and that requires more advanced statistical methods. So I just have very bare bones results to report on, but I do have some results, and I'm seeing it already. So the following list that you will see, these are all statistically significant differences in behavior between groups of people. And so what I find is that the following groups tend to use the web for fewer types of activities based on an index of activities that you saw on a previous slide. And so women tend to use the web for fewer types of activities than men. You get effects of race and ethnicity. People who have the parental background is a measure of socioeconomic status, because in this age group you can't really ask income, it's not very meaningful. And then also you see that, again, scales of this issue about knowledge about the internet is also related to how much people do with digital technologies. So finally, I just want to say that I think skill is a really important issue to look at, and we can't assume that just because people are online, it means that they know what they're doing, that they're informed, or that they even know about services that from which they could benefit. And so in addition to focusing on trying to get people connected, the question we need to continue to ask is, well, who are using these services? And some people already did ask this today, and I think that is a really important question that we need to keep thinking about. And skill is related to what people do online, so that's another important issue. And so with respect to policy, I mean, obviously, so in addition to trying to connect people, when we try to connect people, we also need to remember that training is a really important part of the process. So if you would like more information about my work, you can check out the project website. Thank you.
Thank you.